algo me encantó lo que dices tú. Members of the media, good morning as well. Welcome Mr. Kwangwa, Mhlekazi. Just by way of opening this meeting, members, one is to thank you to come back when you are requested to come back. Everybody is aware we are on a constituency period, but we had to come back for this one. The turnaround strategy of SABC and the shortlisting of candidates of SABC board. You recall that SABC board is short of four members. I don't need to go to the names of people who resigned, you know. So today you must finalize the shortlist. I hope members have done their work so that our meeting is not long. The first apology will be that of the minister. You recall that Mr. Mulewa passed on last Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? And it's already announced that the funeral is on the 6th in Pretoria. And you, as you may know, that before the funeral, there are arrangements, and the minister is part of those arrangements. That team who's arranging for the funeral, I am told. But also, it's sad as it is to lose one of our members, the minister, but also it's not very good that the minister is not here, deputy minister, especially when we are going to discuss a matter of such importance, the turnaround strategy. But she is instructed by the president to be part of that. Two, as we are going to discuss or get a presentation from SABC board of the turnaround strategy, we thought by now everything will be sorted out, but it looks like it's not sorted out between the board and the ministry. You recall, members, we have been waiting for this turnaround strategy for a month or so now, and it has been delayed because it's not finalized between the board and the shareholder. And it looks like we are in that problem even now. I thought I must say this upfront, members, so that as this is presented to the committee, it's a turnaround strategy that is not, yes, it's finalized from the side of the SABC board, but in terms of alignment with the shareholder, that process until now hasn't been concluded. I double-checked this. And I get that that is the case. I will leave it to members to comment on that, because I think I'm raising it precisely because of that, that we don't just get into it without knowing all those that information. I had hoped, truly speaking, I had hoped everything is done and dusted in terms of this turnaround strategy. There is a first hand there. Let's start with the apologies and then come to the issue of the turnaround strategy. I presented Honorable Van Dijk as provincial commitments. Those are the only two, minister and Honorable Van Dijk not coming. I don't think we have a problem with that. We know it's a problem period for some of the members to come here. At least Honorable Matisha is here, Kwankwa is here, Fandam is here, Machoba is here, Kaba is here, Bongo is here, and Kalago is here. These members are here. We don't have a problem of proceeding with the meeting. But anyway, I'll allow members to comment. Honorable Fandam.
Thanks, Chair. I think we've been in this movie before. Remember with this movie. We've been in this movie before. Remember with the appointment of the top executives, and there was discord between the minister and the board about how far the minister can interfere in the process. And what the court judgment said, and what the Broadcasting Act says, is that the minister must be consulted. So the minister can be sent the roadmap and said, and the board can say, here's the roadmap. The minister can say, oh, I don't like this, or I like it. And that's where her involvement ends. Ultimately, the final decision lies with the board, not the minister. So whether or not the minister is happy or not is actually quite irrelevant. All the Act says, all the court case said, is that the minister must be consulted. So can the board then inform us whether they did consult the minister? And if the minister was consulted, then they must go ahead with their strategic plan. They don't have to be in line with the minister. All the Act says is that she must be consulted. And if the board takes her consultation on board and they make changes, then they can. But ultimately, the decision lies with them. Whether or not the minister is happy is quite irrelevant, because it would then start being political interference in the SABC with her dictating what the turnaround strategy should be. So all I want to hear from the board is, did they consult the minister? Yes. If it's a yes, then they can move on. We've got no problem. Whether the minister is unhappy or not is quite irrelevant.
Thank you, Honourable Fandam. Honourable Kaba.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the approach at which you are opening the meeting seeks to guide us, to lead us to the positiveness of the meeting. It should not be conclusive out of what Honorable Fandam is raising to say that could be a deciding factor. Because we are a government that cares, that also seeks to involve all in providing or coming up with solutions wherein a matter at hand would be of national importance. So the approach should be in a nature which encompasses and brings everybody on board, not in a manner in which perhaps we could be rigid in the approach. So I think your opening of a meeting was an enabler and an opening to say, as we engage further, we'll arrive at that. So I was saying, perhaps the approach which the Honorable Van Damme is raising shouldn't be the one. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, I think let's proceed, members. Get a presentation. We hear, members. You heard what I was saying. We hear the response of members. The SABC board is ready to present the turnaround strategy. Masunga, we are going to get the presentation. Yes?
No, Chair, I don't think we can move on. It's a critical point. Because you raised it up front because you think it's a critical point. So we cannot just, Honorable Father can't just on his own say, my approach can't be followed. My approach is according to the Broadcasting Act, it's according to a court judgment. So we must decide as a committee before we move on which approach we're going to take. He can't just say, oh, we're a caring nation and therefore we must ignore the law. The law says the minister must be consulted, and the final decision lies with the SABC board. So we cannot move on until we resolve that. His word can't be the final word, and then we decide to ignore court judgments, we decide to ignore the law, because, we're a caring nation. We are here as legislators. We have to follow what the law says. We have to follow what a very clear court judgment said about the minister's role in the SABC. So the reason that you raised this is because you think it's important. So we need to resolve whether or not we think the minister's permission, if you will, is required before the SABC board can go ahead with the strategy. So we need to resolve that. So that's the reason you raised it. And the law says, consult, SABC can do what it pleases. It must consult with the minister, but ultimately the decision is with them. So can we please resolve that? There's a reason why you raised it. We can't just say, let's just leave it because we're a caring nation.
Okay.
The law is the law.
Honorable Bongo, I thought we are proceeding because even if the minister was here, SABC board is their responsibility to present the turnaround strategy, even if she was here. I'm proceeding on those bases that even if the minister was here, but it's the responsibility of the board to present the turnaround strategy. Other process of consultation before this, adjust consultation process. Bongo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. What I wanted to say was that let's proceed. And in the presentation, we will pick up those issues. Once we pick them up, we'll be able to respond to them at that stage. So I'm comfortable that we just proceed and take the presentation.
I think we are going around in circles, yes, sir. The question, I think the critical question that Honorable Van Damme is asking or trying to establish is whether or not the board did consult the minister. I think they should answer that just before they do the presentation. Tell us exactly whether that has happened. I think she's been asking that question consistently.
I thought I finalized this, Honorable Nkwankwa. In their presentation, they will give us all that information. So I know we have a lot of time, but let's proceed now. In that process, you will give us all the information. Deputy Minister, can you start the process? Because this is SABC, an entity of this department. We must start.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and let me also take this opportunity to greet Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee and recognize the presence of the chair of the board of the SABC, Mr. Makatini, and the group CEO, and the entire team of SABC board. With me is the DG and the CFO and other members from the Department of Communications. It is indeed an important day, Chairperson, especially for the SABC. Looking back from where the SABC come from as a state broadcaster and the transition that it has gone through to become a public broadcaster. And we can all, as we look at that transition and where the SABC is now, that all of us are proud to say it is an entity that is able to represent all South Africans, regardless of political affiliation, race, class and gender. But we must also say, Chair, up front, that there has always been a challenge since we took over some of these entities. The SABC is also not unique. It had its own challenges, and the financial modeling is one of those challenges that has been confronting the SABC. We have also done our own assessment. We have done comparative studies with other state-owned broadcasting operations, and we have seen that our public broadcaster is also the least assisted as we compare with others in different countries. All of us are here, Chair, to see how we reconstruct and create a new path for the SABC. And I think we want, as South Africans in the Portfolio Committee and Parliament, to hold each other's hand and play our part in making sure that the SABC is put in another platform where it is able to discharge its responsibilities accordingly. It is in our interest to create an enabling environment for the SABC to become an employer of choice. But it also says there are other areas that we also have to look at in making sure that the future of SABC is protected. Looking at what is happening in the digital space and how pay TV and other entities that are in a similar position with the SABC are competing with it. It is in our best interest to make sure that we are able to assist it. It may be a difficulty or a challenge, but in that challenge, there may be opportunities that the SABC may seize to be able to deal with. So, Chair, we are joined here by the board and the group CEO and other executives to present to us the strategy going forward and how we can look at repositioning the SABC. But we are also calling on our people to say it is in our hands and in our interest to make sure that we all sustain the SABC. We know the main revenue stream around the SABC has been paying off TV licenses. And that has not been happening for quite some time. Whatever movie or soap you see and all other activities, it means we must pay 76 cents a day as viewers. And that has not been happening. And that also brings other unintended consequences, because if we don't pay that, it means even the staff of the SABC cannot be sustained. It also means will not be able to view other contents. But I think from what the group CEO and the chair will also be showing, it's other avenues that they'll be looking at to create revenue streams that will assist the SABC, and probably including the recent achievement of the Cricket South Africa on the T20 matches that will be playing through SABC. And we really appreciate some of those initiatives. And this also shows that there is confidence out there from our people and the sports fraternity. And probably through this program, other sporting codes and sport bodies will also come through to the SABC. So, Chair, in a nutshell, we are saying that 76 cents a day helps the SABC to create jobs and to also sustain the jobs that are there now. So if we don't do that, the SABC will remain poorer and worse off financially. So in essence, paying our TV licenses does not only save the SABC, it also saves many South African families who are employed by the SABC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I will now hand over to the Chair of the Board. But I'll request members to pull out their booklets so that Singakhulumi out of the blue. There is this booklet that we gave all members. And my comments really are based on this document about the absence of the minister, as well as the lack of finalization of the turnaround strategy, because it talks about the turnaround strategy surely cannot be just a turnaround strategy without finance issues. Surely, when it comes to issues of borrowing and all of that, then the shareholder, according to this, must always be consulted. That is why I was a bit worried, because if you go to whilst they are presenting, go to your booklets on page 253 on borrowing powers and all of that, and then starting from 250, the financial regulations and then the borrowing powers, because at the end of the day, the question of borrowing, that we have been trying to engage treasury, is reflected here. The corporation must not borrow money without prior written approval of the minister and the minister of finance. So it's based on those areas of the of this booklet. That is why I was throwing in the issue of the minister. Much as it is your responsibility, but the minister comes in because there must be that question of borrowing money. Hence, we're talking about the guarantee from Treasury, and the minister must enter that terrain, even if it's the responsibility of the board itself. Precisely on those bases, I was raising the matter. But Chair of the Board, the Deputy Minister did pave the way. so that you can start your presentation. Please make it such that we understand, so that we understand where you come from on all the issues that we have raised here. Members did get the presentation, I think yesterday, if not Sunday, and I'm sure we're a bit familiar with it now. Okay, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to honorable members of this portfolio, of the portfolio committee. I also want to greet the Deputy Minister, Acting DG, CFO from the department. With me, I've got my colleagues. I'm greeting my colleagues, board members, and the executive team that we have here. Members of the media, general public, I want to also express my greetings. As the board, really, we have been looking forward to this opportunity where we can take you and the South African public through our comprehensive strategy, which the team has put together and the board has approved that strategy. Hopefully, our presentation today will give this committee an assurance that we have the required skills, the necessary skills and expertise to turn around and to drive the SABC forward, which is very important for the sustainability and the viability of SABC. One of the main priorities of this board was to get a properly qualified and experienced executive team in place. That was our first main priority. And we've demonstrably achieved this by appointing the team led by the Group CEO, Mr. Madoda Mxakwe, and our CFO, Ms. Yolande van Biljon, the COO, Chris Maluleng, whose appointment were commended by this committee. And South Africans were very excited to see properly qualified and experienced individuals being assigned to lead the SABC. We have also have high levels of expertise and experience at the group executive level. In particular, Mr. Jonathan Tekiso, who leads our HR and the processes that relate to HR, very experienced individual. We've got Ms. Nomsa Peliso, who's leading our TV, Mr. Chifio Mlaudzi, who's responsible for commercial enterprise, and Ms. Silva Tladi, who's head of TV license. We thought it's necessary for us, because today we're talking about the commercial, the turnaround of the SABC, that the executives come and basically articulate how we're going to be turning around the SABC. And they are all here with us today. Also here today, our two non-executive board members, Mr. Michael Makovitz and Mr. Jack Palane, from the non-exec side. As you'll see today, colleagues, the turnaround strategy is multifaceted and relies on achieving a number of key objectives as first set out in our corporate plan. Our corporate plan has got a number of pillars that basically drive what we'll be doing, and the turnaround strategy really enables the execution of those pillars. This is not the first time, fellow honorable members, the SABC has had to confront with this issue. In 2009, one of the treasury conditions of the government guarantee was that the SABC must reduce employee costs in order to be sustainable. Reality is, when you run a business, there's two things you manage really. It's revenue and cost. You've got to manage your cost and make sure that your revenue far exceeds your cost. Therefore, in 2018, employee cost is still the biggest cost driver at the SABC and continue to be out of step as a percentage of revenue. It's sitting at about 42% of the total revenue, which is an anomaly. With regard to Section 189, it is important to restate to this committee that this is very tightly drafted legislation requirement and processes which the SABC intend to follow to the letter. Indeed, we have engaged with organized labor and our employees to communicate to them the SABC contemplates embarking on Section 189 process. This process must fully comply with the Labor Relations Act, and therefore it would have been improper for the employees to first hear about this process in a public meeting with this committee. That's why we had to start engaging with labor so that we can work together
in a consultation process. And that consultation process will result to a buy-in and an alignment on how we're going to be proceeding in our cost cutting drive. This board prides itself on following the required consultation process, whether it be with the shareholder, organized labor, or our employees. So I want to confirm that we have consulted with the shareholder representative. We've also engaged with the unions and our employees because it is important for us to follow that process. We will continue to proactively engage all stakeholders with the best interest of the SABC at heart. What drives and guides this board is what's best for the SABC, what's best for South Africa, and we'll do our best to deliver to that, to our mandate also. We are committed as a board to execute on our mandate. And that's why this turnaround will give you a real comprehensive understanding of the number of initiatives that we'll be embarking on to make sure that SABC is viable. It is basically important also for me to say that it is not accurate, an accurate reflection that our turnaround of the SABC ignores a huge amount of, only focuses on one element. Because that notion really ignores a lot of work that has been done really to drive the corporation forward. We've done quite a number of things that have really helped us to stabilize the SABC. The turnaround plan has three main elements which I just want to highlight. The first element really is dealing with the legacy and governance issues. The second element looks at the regulatory and policy issues. The third element talks to the commercial and operational element. That's basically the three elements that drive the turnaround strategy. Firstly, we have had to a consistent drive to address all the governance and legacy issues facing the SABC, including issues raised by the public protector and those that were raised by the ad hoc committee inquiry. That's the first element that we've been focusing on. The second element talks to the board has been taking a lead in highlighting regulatory impact of ICASA and ministerial regulation on the SABC financial viability. In particular, the mask carry, the sports rights, the DTT, and the TV license regulation. You may have witnessed our presentation during the colloquium where we articulate a number of ideas of what needs to be done to address the issue of licenses. We won't go into details on this today, but our detailed regulatory and policy proposal in this regard are contained in the document on the SABC website. So we really encourage people to go peruse those documents so that they can get information and a better understanding of what we're doing around the regulatory and policy area. The third element of our turnaround strategy, which is the major focus of today, we will be taking the committee through a commercial turnaround plan, which in itself has about 15 different focus areas. So beyond the cost cutting, there's about 15 other focus areas that the turnaround plan focuses on. The group CEO and his team will take you through all these areas in detail so that you may fully appreciate the challenges facing the SABC and the plans in place to address these challenges. So in the manner in which we're going to be taking you through, the CEO will basically be leading, and then he will be joined by the executive team members whom we are part of the sitting today, but also my non-executive board members will also come in. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. What I would like to do is just to frame the discussions or the presentations that the different GEs are going to make. You would recognize that the information shared is quite detailed and some of which is commercially sensitive. But we did that so that we can give you as members the assurance that indeed we have a robust plan in place. At the heart of what we are trying to achieve is the fact that we're driven by our commitment to fulfill the public mandate of the SABC, which is to provide compelling programming that is informative, educational, as well as entertaining, using all of our platforms, which would be your television, radio, as well as digital. But in order to achieve this, it's important to highlight that we have to get the basic business fundamentals right, particularly in as far as it relates to the cost base of the organization. If you look at the past 5 years, year on year, we have seen some kind of stable growth.
with a bit of dip in 2016-17. The plans that we'll introduce today are quite aggressive in nature. In fact, for the next financial year, our target is to hit at least 8 billion. And that is really based on the fact that we have very solid revenue-generating plans and also diversified streams of income that the team is going to get into. But I think before we can even delve into this presentation, what I would like members to really think about is the four key areas which really indicate the financial health of the SABC. The first point is that for the past financial year, our total revenue was 6.6 billion. In terms of expenditure, we're 7.3 billion. The net loss was standing at 622 million. And lastly, in terms of the debts, we're standing at 1.3 billion. So the strategy that you're going to see today, it's very forward-looking in as far as the plans are concerned. And I would want to go straight to this. From a vision point of view, we have developed a renewed vision for the SABC, which is quite aggressive. And really, we would want to become the leading credible voice and face of the nation, as well as the continent. Underpinning that vision is a mission that talks to the need to be a high-performing, financially viable, as well as a digitized national broadcaster. Very importantly, there are four key areas which we focus on from a repositioning point of view. We would want to reposition ourselves in the following way. The first one is we'd want to become the preferred broadcaster with our communities in order to make sure that we fulfill our public mandate. The second one is to ensure that we become the preferred employer with our employees of choice who will be our brand ambassadors internally as well as externally. The third one is, in as far as it relates to service provision, we want to be the preferred service provider to our clients, and the idea there is to ensure that we provide mutually profitable growth, not just for the SABC, but also for our clients. And it talks also to the need to make sure we improve our customer service levels, looking at flexibility and effectiveness whilst driving out inefficiencies operationally. The last point there, it talks about the need to have preferred brands for our audiences, because we want to make sure that we attain the increased preference, but also to have trustworthy brands that add value to the different audiences. What you're going to see is the corporate pillars that really underpin the strategic roadmap. It's six of them: financial sustainability, content and platforms, digital, human capital, governance, as well as partnerships. The first one, which is very key for us, is the financial sustainability pillar. You'll see that there's been a lot of focus that has been placed on that pillar, because all of the other corporate pillars are dependent on the successful execution of the strategies within the financial pillar. We want to make sure through this pillar that we sufficiently enhance our cash flows in order to make sure we invest in content, in technology, as well as in infrastructure. So that would be very key. And the drivers under this pillar are revenue growth. We want to ensure that we very focused on cost containment, as well as moving forward to drive a positive liquidity status for the organization. In terms of the second pillar, which talks directly to content and platforms, we want to continue to deliver high quality programming and content spanning a range of genres which will be accessible across multiple platforms. So for us, this is quite key. If you look at the 18 radio stations that we have, as well as the 5 TV stations, it's quite key that we continue to deliver this service. The other pillar that is quite key, and the colleagues are going to come and give more input on this, is to make sure that SABC is everywhere for everyone. And with smart devices, including smartphones and tablets, they've changed, obviously, the way that audience access as well as consume content. And as the SABC, we want to make sure that in our strategies we take consideration of this, and as such they are actually part of the digital media strategy going forward. The fourth pillar talks to human capital. As an organization, we want to have a competent, dynamic workforce that is fit for purpose. It is the talent, the passion, as well as the commitment of the SAPC employees that continue to drive its ability to achieve its goals and deliver on the mandate. It's important going forward to have the right people in the right jobs who are highly skilled, motivated, engaged, as well as passionate. This is actually what we're driving, and the GE for HR is going to come and give us more plans and strategies in as far as this is concerned. One of the pillar that is also quite key for us is the pillar under governance, which talks to compliance with governance practices. We look at risk management as well as sound internal controls. As you may know, this is one of the focus areas that the board is driving, that we need to continue enforcing sound governance procedures within the system that will help us to re-establish the culture of accountability within within the SAPC. The last point there is the need to ensure that we enter into sustainable, mutually beneficial relationship, which will actually help the SAPC in terms of long-term financial sustainability. So these are the six key areas that are really key if we're going to have to turn the SAPC around. And there's a lot of content that we provide in this regard. The key performance areas for the corporate are really the need for acceleration of revenue generation. We need to ensure from an expenditure point of view, we emphasize the need to contain costs. You will see when the team presents that we have find ourselves in a situation where expenditure far strips revenue, which is not ideal. We want to work, for example, on the working capital. We want to claw back the audiences that we lost, operational efficiencies. The team is going to also share with this. So all of these key performance areas, they've been cascaded to the different divisions for implementation. The last point there that I would like to make is it's all good to have the right competencies as well as the the right competencies and the skills for a high-performing organization. But equally important is to have the required behaviors and the values that will make sure that we align to be a high-performing company. So what you will see after this is, and the team is not going to get into the detail for each slide, but what we'd like to do is to give you a key message on each slide that will explain, I'm hoping in a very clear way, that this is what the SAPC is going to do going forward. I would like to call Yolandi to just take us through the next slides, please. Yolandi.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister and Committee Members. I would like to share with you a brief overview of the financial position of the organization in the past 2 years, as well as I will have some comments on the forecast for the current year, maybe just to set the scene from a financial perspective as to what the platform we find ourselves on, and then the team will be talking about the plans in terms of how we're going to move from this platform. The organization's financial position has seen marginal improvement in the course of the last 2 years. Revenue has been increasing slightly, about 1% between the 17 and 18 financial year, and it's at the budgeted level, and forecast is anticipated to increase by about 2% from the 18 year to the 19 year. Expenditure, on the other hand, has seen significant reductions, which is positive, but I wanted to share with you a few of the main elements that contributes to that reduction, because that has an influence on the future as we move forward. After a reduction of about 452 million between the years 17-18 and 16-17, about 236 million or 12% relates to content. We were unable to have sufficient resources to invest in content. It has a knock-on effect in about the next year to 18 months, 2 years, and you're going to see it when I talk about the revenue in a second. The other items, main contributors to the reduction, was in payroll. There was a 90 million reduction, marketing 88, and then operating expenditure is also has reduced by approximately 200 million as well, which is the kind of expenditure that you typically target when you look at cost savings. But as I mentioned, the specifically the content impact on our revenue. And as a result, when I talk about the 19 year, I think just go back to the previous slide, who's driving. If you talk about the 19 year, the budgeted assumptions today are already under significant pressure in the forecast. The revenue is anticipated to be approximately 10% down, and the expenditure is anticipated to remain more or less the same. Yet, the operating expenditure again, there's about 142 million rand reduction or 3% from the budget that we've already factored in terms of cost savings. So, and December and the period that's coming, despite the high revenue generating months that we currently find ourselves in, those peter off in December, January and February, and available resources will be particularly constrained there. So the long and the short of it is the budgeted operating loss of 283 million is currently not anticipated to be that. It will be significantly more negative, especially if you then see it in the context of our fixed cost perhaps per month of about 630 million per month versus revenue of about 550 million. So there's an 80, 90 million rand gap every month that is in reality materializing as we sit here today. So the trajectory is not meant to increase or to improve as we go forward. I think maybe just a short note on the 1920 and 2021 years, there were rather aggressive assumptions in the revenue and we are struggling to materialize those at this point in time and have to replace them with other plans which the team will be talking about. If you go to the next slide, the main expenditure items, a slide from our annual report, very useful, I think, in terms of talking about the main cost drivers in our organization. And a bit later in the presentation, I will be speaking about specific cost initiatives for each of those elements. I've touched on the top one, the amortization, which is where we buy content. You can see the reduction from the 17 to the 18 year, and I've spoken about the consequence of that. You can also then see the other, the big one is the employee cost, 42% of the total expenditure, and then a number of the little ones at the bottom, which is your operating expenditure, which you typically want to target for optimization. Another item that I'll also touch on a bit later again, broadcast signal cost, those are costs incurred in the generation of our revenue. They are to a large extent fixed, so fall in that 628 million rand a month fixed cost, and yet we will be looking at efficiencies to maximize them. If you go to the next slide, a brief snapshot of our revenue, especially the 17-18 revenue that amounted to about 6.6 billion. Main contributions there were from advertising, which makes up 71%, and the TV license fees that makes up 14% with the rest a bunch of little items. I think at this point I hand over back to the CEO.
Thanks, Yolandi. So what we'll now do is just to give you a snapshot of the major cost drivers as well as the revenue streams. I would like to hand over to Tekiso to take us through this one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister and honorable members. The first slide gives us an indication as to the numbers of employees per division categorized into scale codes or job grades. You will note that the top row gives us an indication of the job grades, where 110 is essentially our executive directors. 115 would be our group executives. 120 would be our general managers. 125 and 130 are our middle managers, inclusive of 200, and 300 are our junior managers. And from 401 to 406 would be administrators, clerical, technical, and this would constitute our bargaining unit. you will note that the current staff complement sits at about 3,478 employees. If we move to the next slide, this slide gives us an indication as to employee costs per category for the last 5 financial years. You'll note that in 2013-2014, the total employee costs were just under 2.5 billion, and if divided into categories, you'll note that non-permanent positions and board for 2013-2014 was 31 million. And independent contractors were 361 million. And permanent field positions were 2.1 billion. And so if you look at 2014-15, the total amount when all the categories are combined gives us 2.9 million. 2015-16, the total number would be 3.2 billion. 2016-17 gives us 3.1 billion. 2017-18 gives us just under 3.1 billion in as far as our employee cost per category are concerned. Our projections for 2018-19 gives us 2.9 billion. If we look at the next slide, this slide gives us an indication as to total employee compensation in the context of permanent employees vis-a-vis headcount. When we look at 2003-04, we notice that the headcount was sitting at about 3,200 employees, and the cost of employment was 600 million. 2006-2007 gives us employee compensation of around 1 billion rand on a headcount of 3,700 employees. 2008-09 gives us a compensation total of 1.5 billion on a headcount of about 4,000 employees. 2011-12 gives us 1.6 billion in terms of compensation with a headcount of 3,600 employees. 2015-16, we have 3,800 employees on a compensation bill of about 2.5 billion. 2017-18, headcount of 3,400 on a compensation bill of 2.6 billion. If we turn the slide, we now look at the relationship between permanent positions as a percentage of expenditure. And I'm just going to run through this. 2003-2004, there was 25.8% as a percentage of expenditure. If we run through to 2009-2010, that figure has increased somewhat to 29.3%, and we see a spike in 2013-2014 with the percentage being 35.4%, and when we look at 2017-18, this figure has risen to 35.5%, and that is the percentage of compensation costs vis-a-vis expenditure. The picture changes somewhat when you look at the next slide with the factoring in of freelancers. And I'm just going to go through to 2009-2010. The freelance figure there is 3.8%, and the permanent staff compensation figure is 29.3%, and that gives us a total of 33.7%. When we go to 2013-14, we have freelancers' expenditure sitting at 6.0%, permanent staff members sitting at 33.4%, and that gives us an ultimate figure of 41.9%. 2015-16, we're sitting at 3.7% freelancer, 36.3% permanent employees, and 42.5% as a total. And then finally, 2017-18, freelancer figure 6.5%, permanent employees 35.5%, and the total figure is 42.7%. And these are permanent positions within the SABC as a percentage of expenditure. When we look at the next slide, this slide gives us an indication of salary increases within the SABC in the last 10 years. So it looks at the relationship between salary increases, CPI, as well as revenue growth. You will see that salary increases for 2008-2009 were 11.5%, and the CPI was actually 11.5%. So there was equality there. However, the revenue growth for this financial year was 0.3%. 2009-10, revenue growth was 0.9%, CPI was 7.1%, and the SABC declared increases of 10%. 2010-2011, CPI was sitting at 4.3%. Revenue growth was 10.5%. And the SABC salary increases for this year were 10%. 2011-12, the CPI was sitting at 5%. The increases were 8.1%, whereas revenue growth was 7.3%. 2012-13, revenue growth was 3.7%, CPI was 5.6%, and the increases were 9.5%. For 2013-14, increases were 8.5%, CPI was 5.8%, and revenue growth was 7.9%. 2014-15, the increases were 9%, CPI was 4.3%, CPI was 5.9%, and revenue growth was 4.3%. Let me rush through to 17-18. No, before 17-18, let's look at 16-17, because it's a very interesting picture. The increases were 7%. CPI was 6.3%, and revenue growth was minus 7.3%. And finally, 17-18, CPI was 5.4%, and increases reduced somewhat to 4.8%, and the revenue growth was 0.9%. I think that's my last slide. Thank you for now.
Thanks, Dr. Tegi. Chris?
Good morning, Deputy Minister and Members of Parliament. I've been requested to present to you some of the major cost drivers that relate to the work that we do from an operational perspective as the SABC. I think what the slide actually reflects is where the main effort or the main work of the SABC is really focused on, which is really around programming and what we describe as film costs. As you would see over a historic period beginning in 2015, we've seen a gradual increase in this cost. And as you will see in 2017-2018, we have actually indicated a cost of just over 1.3 billion. I think when we reflect this course, particularly in relation to what has been presented earlier on, in terms of the other main cost driver here, which is the headcount costs or the costs that it takes for us to employ the people who are required to produce this programming, you'll actually see that it shows an asymmetry in terms of where we believe the primary focus of our main cost should be, which is really around the programming costs and film costs. If you look also here at another significant cost driver, one that has continually been a challenge to the SABC, particularly from the context of a mandate that is given to us through our regulation in terms of sports of national importance. This would relate to sports rights and their production costs. I think what is important to note here is that we are given a mandate where no funding model is provided for the SABC to effectively fund this mandate that is given down. And this is particularly evident here when we talk about sports rights and production costs. As you can see from the actuals that are presented here in 2017, we are saying that those costs are at 761 million, and we anticipate a further increase in 2018 and 19. One of the key things that we do as the SABC in terms of carrying out our primary broadcast mandate is really to provide a transmission network that allows us to broadcast both on television and radio. One of the key things that we point out here is that the costs include satellite linkage costs for outside broadcasts, special events, and sporting events. If I may, Chair, I'd just like to speak very briefly about some of the special events that we are required in terms of our mandate to cover. Yet again, this is another good example of some of the mandates that are given down to the SABC without a clear understanding or direction on where the funding for this mandate is. As you can see, as a percentage of our costs, these are quite significant. I'll refer you to the actual costs in 2017 and 2018 in terms of signal and linkages and costs, and you can see there that they stand at 732 million, which is quite a significant cost, particularly given that some of these, in particular sporting events and special events, are mandate activity without a specific funding model for us to carry out. One of the other major cost drivers here that we see is that we would like to refer to the broadcast costs. These costs include payments to CENTEC, which are also very important, and we will reflect on these when we go into the other aspects of our presentation in more detail, particularly when we reflect on television and radio broadcasts. If I may go to the next slide, please. Okay. So one of the things that has been reflected by our CFO earlier on was challenges around the optimization of our revenue. It was indicated that the largest percent of the revenue that the SABC derives is from the sale of commercial airtime. And here we have reflected on some of the challenges that we face. As an industry, and specifically as the SABC, around advertising and sponsorship revenue, this is particularly important if you consider the extent to which SABC relies on this commercial aspects, and indeed our group executive for commercial enterprises will reflect on these in more detail. We reflect on these in point form, which I'll not go through here in order to allow our group executive also to shed more light on this. You'll also see here that we reflect on other aspects of our revenue challenges, and here it is also around TV license. This also forms a significant part of our revenue, and we also have the head of our TV license division who will go into significant detail around this and also plans that we have on the turnaround strategy aimed at not just revenue optimization, but also minimizing the costs on these two key aspects.
If I can then take over from the COO and briefly speak about the cost of our mandate. As he indicated already, the cost of our mandate, or the mandate, is governed by four pieces of legislation: the Constitution, the Broadcasting Act, the Independent Communications Authority Act, and the Electronic Communications Act. The obligation arising from the Broadcasting Act is embodied in the ICASA regulations, and it spells out our mandate, that is to encourage the development of South African expression by providing in official languages a wide variety of programming. You can see them listed there, reflecting South African attitudes, displaying South African talent in education and entertainment, offering a plurality of views, and the advancement of national and public interest. The next slide, in a little bit more detail, speaks about each of the main elements of broadcast we facilitate and what is expected of us in terms of each of them in executing this mandate. We then get to what this mandate costs. In May 2017, an exercise was done where we literally took the annual results for the prior years, we took the corporate plan for the 17-18 year, and calculated what our cost of mandate comes to. You can see it averages currently at about 2 billion rand per annum, and maybe to provide context, this mandate is funded from the TV licenses, which is about a billion, and the grant we get from government, which is about another 200 million. As such, there's about an 800 to a billion rand gap on average, which is where we are supposed to use commercial profit generated to fill that gap. And I think in the context of what was already presented here, it's then understood that our commercial activities, based on our current cost base, is unable to fill this gap. The next slide gives you a little bit of more detail in terms of the various broadcasting elements and facilities we provide, to tell you where this mandate is, how it is calculated from. Sports in particular, it fluctuates per annum as a result of special events that take place in different years. For example, this year there was the FIFA World Cup, AFCON is coming, next year it's the Cricket World Cup, the Olympics are coming, and hence you will see fluctuations in the values. The other notable one would be under news specifically, where events of special interest and, for example, elections see in-year fluctuations, which differ from prior years necessarily. TV then, you can see a couple of underlying elements there. We anticipated to be able to invest more on content and production in the 18-19 year, based on the fact that we have not adequately invested in those areas in the past. However, I've already touched on it in my presentation, the first part of the financial consequences. When we are constrained for cash, we have to cut the investment in content, and the consequence is then that we're not generating revenue. So though that 2 billion is not going to materialize based on current projections, the knock-on effect in this year you would have seen, and we're going to experience it in future years already. So in conclusion, there's a high expectation on the SABC to deliver on all mandate obligations. We have to, the consideration is given to achieving the best mix of mandate and the licensing conditions, but we are in an extremely competitive environment, and yet we are expected to compete on the same level as what our counterparts are doing. To maintain and strengthen this role, our content therefore needs to stand out and do more to provide the national audience with a distinctive mix of quality programs. As such, the mandate places unprecedented commercial and financial pressure on the SABC. Additional funding resources and an enabling regulatory environment will be essential to mitigate the risk of undermining South African public service broadcasting in future. I'm going to carry on with the next part. We are now going to come to part the turnaround strategies. going to look at all the various elements in our themes in our financial statements, and I'm going to start with the cost saving measures. So as already previously reported, we have a cost base. The presentation can move on one slide. We have a cost base of about 7.2 billion rand. I've touched on the main themes that informs this cost base, being the content of costs for program for the sports right, broadcasting distribution, employment costs, investment, revenue collection, public expenditure and other impairments. I do a further analysis by focusing the attention on what I call revenue generating spend, which is the content, the broadcast and distribution cost and the revenue collection cost, which makes up about 43% of our cost base. So if you do cut on those elements, reduce, delay or postpone or not simply not invest in it at all, there is a knock-on effect in your revenue, and we are experiencing it. If you do, however, focus on your operating expenditure, which is typically what I call bad costs, that should be a focus area for optimization on a constant basis. However, in this specific case, by now you are somewhat familiar with the percentages that we keep on referring to. The operating expenditure really is only about 10% of our total cost base. So you've already, I've reported, we saved about 4%, 5% from the 16-17 year to the 17-18 year. We're anticipating to save a further 5% in the current year from the 19 year to the 18 year. So there's already a combination of austerity measures and decisions around postpone, delay, or simply not proceed at all that we are factoring into these kind of numbers. But the difference we make with these initiatives are limited, and it's not able to materially reduce the cost base which we operate from. So what should your savings targeting be if you have this context in the back of your mind? In my experience, when you start from a zero base and you implement austerity measures, you can save between 10 and 20% in the first year. After that, it will be reducing because you cannot keep on saving on the same baseline. You will be eating into the muscle and eventually you'll be at the skeleton level. And in some instances, that is quite frankly where the organization is already because of 2 years of active focus on driving these cost savings. And I'm an advocate of you can't save yourself out of trouble. We need to have bigger ticket initiatives to be able to make the difference that the organization needs to return to financial sustainability. The next slide really is just a summary that's by now familiar to show where I get the 7.2 billion rand, which are all the various cost elements. And then we get into a slide that you also know by now, but in this case, I have taken each of the various elements. The presentation may move on, please. I have taken each of the various elements, and sorry, you're going to have to, there's animations that will flow in and out, so wherever, there you go. So I've taken each of the elements to give the committee an overview of the kind of things that we are doing. If you look at content then, the second biggest cost driver in our environment, content acquisition will be audited and there will be an active focus on and constantly it will be scrutinized for return on investment. It's already in place and we are making those kind of decisions every time we are faced with the acquisition decision. Production facilities, both in-house and externally, will be assessed for optimal and efficient utilization and financial viability. We have studios at Henley which are not fully utilized. We're aware of that and there's plans in place to deal with it. In general, financial performance parameters that supports return to financial sustainability for the corporation will be applied to acquisition decisions. I can honestly say that is, for example, a significant decision that formed part of the EPL acquisition. It's anticipated to generate profit for the organization, hence we proceeded. There's a similar decision around the C20 that is on the way. Again, there's profit that is anticipated to be made, hence we proceeded. So particularly when you look at sports rights and those that are in national interest, it's also our plan to conclude on these in terms of return on investment that ensures a return to financial sustainability. There then follows a few items, impairments, amortizations, more impairments, and another one later on. These are what I call entries that's required in terms of accounting standards. It does not have a financial impact, but it does have a bottom line impact. If you look at the next item, then would be the broadcast and signal distribution cost. Already, actions to drive efficiencies are currently in the way in the form of what we call a shared services mindset, where radio stations that are broadcasting from the same location will be sharing resources when these events are broadcast. In other words, it should generate efficiencies and save money. Additional resources will be pooled for these shared events, as I've indicated. The broadcast network will be optimized to ensure that it focuses on areas where it is viable to increase audience and therefore have a positive impact on revenue, but without jeopardizing our public mandate for service delivery. We are also working closely with the likes of Centec to maximize strategic partnerships with those service providers with a strong focus on efficiencies and financial sustainability. Depreciation is the accounting part of the investment in CapEx that we do per annum. We have a CapEx plan where we anticipate to spend about 350 to 400 million per annum. That is currently in the process of being optimized in what we call a balanced scorecard format, where we look at a number of elements to prioritize these projects to ensure that not only is there money available to pay the projects that we do prioritize, but that these projects are in the interest of revenue generation and the ability to carry on functioning and execute our mandate. So the projects are assessed in the context of content strategy, alignment to the corporate strategy, business optimization, compliance, risk dependencies, and most importantly, cash flow. To give you an idea, but I think the CFO will touch on it a bit later as well, year to date, and we're in the 6 months of the year, of the 350 million per annum, there's only been 80 million spent. I do believe some decisions in the past to delay, postpone, or not invest in these activities are putting the organization at risk to deliver operationally, as well as at risk in terms of legislative requirements. Therefore, we decided to proceed in a manner where we are actively making decisions in terms of what we will be spending money on, whether to ensure that we are able to deliver on our mandate or then to address other risks. Marketing costs, like the broadcast signal and amortization costs, have an opportunity cost element to it. So you can save, and we did, as you can see. We're also saving a little bit more even in this year. But the consequence of that is that revenue-generating opportunities of future are potentially put at risk. So, again, a decision that you proceed with great care when you do make it. And then we get to the kind of cost which is any accountant's pet hate, and where you actively drive efficiencies and cost optimization and what I call ultimately a mindset of cost discipline. So you look at things like professional and consultation fees. The other expenses personnel is things like, in our case, after our transport, training and general other investments in our personnel corps, not necessarily for the wrong reasons. And then the other expenses is your typical operational stuff. You can see, and I've reported already, the savings that we've been generated in the past financial year due to austerity measures that were implemented, and those will continue currently. So if you look at the kind of initiatives we're planning for professional and consultation fees, other than statutory requirements, you see the references to the AGSA and the actuaries there for valuations. We have, for example, a legal department in-house and work that's previously been outsourced are now being brought back in-house. And all other consultation and investment in professional fees should be assessed against the National Treasury Cost Containment Note with respect to this theme, an extensive note with detailed guidance that has been efficient in my experience and which we as an organization will look at implementing. Other expenditures, generally, again, the National Treasury Cost Containment Note provided guidance in 2014-15, and I think there were two further versions that speaks to themes like traveling, entertainment, functions, advertising, catering, etc., and we will be looking at all of these elements and whether expenditure is necessary and will be efficiently applied in our environment. policies and procedures that have been long overdue for a review are currently all being reinitiated, not only to align with best practices, but also to ensure that the way of the world today brings the efficiencies that we know is there and that the organization will therefore be seeking to achieve. For example, if you look at mobile communications, we have smart printers being rolled out, PABXs that focuses on voice over IP and these kind of things. All are ways organizations these days generate money and savings by making use of technology more or just aligning with practices. So all of these things are the kind of stuff that we are looking at as an organization. In summary then, the next slide is really just to take us back to the main themes in our organization. So for revenue generating spend, you want to target efficient spend and you want to ensure that there is no waste. Operating expenditure on a consistent basis, you must minimize and optimize, ensure that it's money well spent. With respect to fruitless and wasteful, it's an absolute no-no. It really is a waste of money. We have seen significant improvement in that theme in our organization in the course of the past 5 years. Currently, the single biggest factor, is 98% of their value year to date, is as a result of our liquidity issues where we incur interest and is unable to make payments timely. We are have already started a review of all our SABC properties. There is a few slides on it later in the presentation. I'll return to this topic, but there's a property audit on the way, and I'll speak about that when we get to those slides. The oversight and reporting in the organization have been well embedded and established in the course of the past 2 years. As such, not only is EXCO more part of the review process, certain themes are now elevated to that level and is assessed on a monthly basis, but similarly board subcommittees and the board takes an active interest in the operational execution of the organization and ensure that the oversight and the reporting is in place to give them a sense that we know what we're doing and we are doing what we said we were going to do. Same as with budget and forecast. The process have been, I think, taken to a new level. We are currently in the budgeting process. I've referred you to the forecast that we have done in the last month. So again, the way we approach it reflects the knowledge and experience of a bunch of skilled people who are ensuring that we have targets to work towards and that the organization understands what's expected of them. So clear guidelines have been provided, review is in place, tracking is ongoing, and again your EXCO, your subcommittees and your board are actively taking overseeing that this process is executed to the best of our ability. At this point I hand over to the TB license and Sylvia.
Thank you very much. Can we have the document. We had it since yesterday or Sunday. If you can just talk on issues, not necessarily read the whole thing. Just summarize so that we can gallop a bit.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Just as an introduction, TV license collections is conducted within the SABC in accordance with the two pieces of legislation, first the Broadcasting Act as well as the TV license revenues. In summary, we've got on our database just about a little bit above 9 million TV license accounts, which is both households, dealer accounts, as well as business accounts. And the current fee is still 265, as it was the last time it was changed in 2013. Moving on to the next slide, I'm not going to go through all of the points, but just to highlight that out of the 9.1 million accounts that we have on the database, there's only 1.8 million accounts that are fully paid up or partly paid. And partly paid would mean some of our license holders who pay on a monthly basis, who make monthly arrangements. This is an indication also that we have a huge challenge with compliance. most people will take out a new TV license the first time they buy a TV license. And what we are seeing is that we have an average of about 70% non-compliance in the second year that people possess a TV license. So currently, the revenue that we generate largely is from new licenses. So when you have to further collect from those existing license holders in the second year, only about 30% of the people on the database will pay their license fees. And then as we move on to our risks and challenges, most of which really have been occurring over a period of about 5 to 8 years, we've been experiencing the similar risks and challenges. The most important one being the fact that we're still collecting license fees from the Broadcasting Act of 1999, so we are challenged in that we're still using very outdated legislation that is not aligned to current practices in the manner in which debt is collected. And what we are looking forward to is getting our legislation reviewed so as to align ourselves with other debt collecting agencies. I have already spoken about the non-compliance and also the TV license tariff fee increase, which remains the same for a number of years, doesn't assist the SABC also to move away from collecting 1 billion, which we'll see in the next slide. Over the past 5 years, we can see that TV license fees revenue has remained steady with the exception of 2016-17, in that only just about above 8 billion is being collected on an annual basis. And that steadiness is an indication, really, that we can no longer continue to use the same collection methods. And in order for us to revise our collection methods, it needs to be supported by the necessary legislative reviews as well. And the table below indicates the collections per revenue stream. We have three revenue streams, which is your renewals. These are people whose licenses are due every year. We have debt collection, those that are in arrears, new licenses, and we just had to include the contracted third party that we used during 2015-16 and then a little bit into 2017. You will see that compared to financial year 15-16, our renewal base was collecting about 679 million per annum compared to 2017-18 and as well as 16-17, where there was a decline of just to get to about 528. And currently we are on 182 million rands. Debt collection also has improved, although it was quite low during 2016-17, but in 2018-19 we're looking at a steady growth as well, and currently at 164 million. The new licenses that I spoke about earlier is the first time licenses that are issued to our license holders. That is also showing a steady increase compared to 2015-16. And then on the next slide, we have our cash collections projections. These, however, are reviewed on a regular basis. And when we review our cash collection budgets, we look at a number of factors. For example, we had the World Cup this year, that those kinds of events will influence the number of people that will pay their licenses as well as the number of new licenses that people will take out as well. In the next slide, this is the collection processes that we currently utilize in-house. The first one being rehabilitation. What we do in rehabilitation is really to offer all license holders an opportunity to settle their accounts. We'll probably consider a discount depending on how much is owed, so that we rehabilitate those license holders for them to become current license holders. We have payment arrangements.
debit orders, credit card payments, and a number of pay points where people can pay their TV licenses. We also have a short code where people SMS their ID number or TV license number in order to find out what their balance is or what their easy pay number would be if they needed to go and pay their accounts. In our turnaround plans, one of the major focus is improving our customer service. And we have decided to look at a number of factors that would influence payment behaviors. And this is also in response to what is needed by the public out there, what measures we can put in place that would make their lives easier in order for them to pay their TV license. We're looking at introducing a cloud solution that will be integrated with social media. With this cloud solution, we're looking at having an innovation hub, which will be a team within the SABC with existing staff that will be able to communicate with license holders and resolve all the inquiries that they may have regarding their TV licenses on social media. It will also enable, the system will also enable TV license holders to be able to make payments using their cell phones, which is through the IVR self-service that is there. And the other factor is predictive dialers. We want to make sure that we improve on our outbound collections, and this predictive dialer will enable us to be able to make increased number of phone calls to be able to collect more than we currently are. We're also looking at enhancing our TV license website. We have seen an improvement of 43.4% in 2017-18, and year on year we're seeing an improvement of 48% on our TV license revenue, that is payments that are made from the website. So in order to respond to the needs of the public as well, we want to introduce these enhancements onto the website that will enable license holders to go onto the website. They do not need to contact the call center. They can make EFT payments, they can download statements for themselves, and they will be able to register their TV licenses should they need to, or update their contact details on the website as well. We also are going to be introducing what we call GIS-enabled new licenses. This will be an additional revenue stream where the SABC will be able to identify households that are not licensed, that do not appear on our database. What the system will do is that we will take the database and match it to the GIS, and therefore we will be able to identify those addresses on the GIS that are not appearing on our database. What we will do thereafter is be able to collect from these households and encourage the unlicensed license holders to take out a license with the SABC. This is a process that is also allowed in the Broadcasting Act, where the SABC can appoint inspectors to go and physically do inspections. However, that process costs, the expenditure is quite high. So we are of the view that the GIS-enabled new licenses which will be conducted internally would be far cheaper in order to identify unlicensed households. With regards to brand positioning, this marketing is really something that is ongoing with TV licenses. On a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, we've got marketing campaigns that seek to promote the payment of TV license. And what we've put in place for almost a year now is that we have a campaign called hashtag made possible by you, which will be reviewed in this year. The campaign really is just to reflect SABC in a positive light, as well as to indicate the importance to the public of them paying their TV licenses. We also informed the public about where to pay their TV licenses, and that happens on a monthly basis. So this brand positioning campaigns will continue. We've just indicated as well our expected dates of implementing these strategies. We have already started with procurement processes in order to secure the systems that we need. The contact center solution, we're looking at April 2019, and most of them really will be implemented in the next financial year. And in terms of budget requirements as well, for all these strategies to be implemented in 2019, we're looking at a total cost of 3.9 million. The contact center solution, it will be an annual cost of 1.5 million. The customer information management, which is a redevelopment of our inquiry system that enables us to process the communication that we receive from customers, as well as website enhancements, GIS enabled new licenses, those are one-off payments. We do not have to carry those costs on an annual basis. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
Just hold on. Members, there is tea. I don't know if you want us to break for 3 minutes. Just to grab tea. 3 minutes and we'll be back just now.
My PM should check. I'll send the presentation to the government for a cabinet.
I'm happy to say to her, keep my mind, otherwise it disappears in me.
And we know technology for the digital native.
And sometimes when everything goes,
can I still rely on Adam Tate?
Thank you. And then the other thing, eh? Most of them missing, like this
I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go.
I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go. Once in a while. Which is in life. You know, the moment you drop off, it's
easy. Yeah, you don't
want that. You don't want that. So, yeah, that's the downside of covering the high proper mission that you need.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you need to make one point, but the moment you need to do something and catch up, not catch up correctly,
I think.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's more than that.
Our apologies, I think there were different
messages. Today, she's in hospital. So can you correct that as well, media, because it's already doing rounds that the minister is not here because of preparations of the funeral. I think that was a mistake or misinformation. And there was never an apology from the ministry that said so. Very clear from the ministry, the letter is not saying anything like being part of today, being part of the preparations of the funeral. So apologies to everybody, the minister. May she get well. Wherever she is, get well, minister. I hope everything will be a success instead of what we said earlier. We were going to take television. What? Commercial. But we are done with television licenses. And I have a lot of questions for you, madam. You must prepare to give us how you will deal with collecting license fees. But also, you must tell us how many TV sets I own. Because sometimes I have a TV license, I buy TV for him, for her, for him, and all of that. So that control needs to be there so that we are able to know as to how many people own how many TV sets. Apart from other strategies to deal with collecting license fees. Because that's where we get money. And if we are not very strong on that one, we'll then do what we are doing as I see here. Can you go to the next presentation?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. I'll be taking you through Commercial Enterprises Division. I think if we can just go to the next, thank you. Just to...
Can we hear you? Can you use the mic?
Yeah, just to state up front that what we're going to talk to relates to initiatives to accelerate advertising revenue. And to also state that right at the beginning of the fiscal, what the leadership does is to decide on the budget, the advertising revenue that is to be generated for the fiscal. But in this instance, I'll be talking largely in terms of how we intend to accelerate advertising revenue. Commercial Enterprises as a division, we exist to deliver business benefits to SABC advertisers. And we generate advertising revenue in three forms. One is what we call classic advertising. We also generate advertising through program and sport sponsorships, where we sell radio, TV, as well as online. And I think for the past couple of years, you will note that our advertising revenue has actually been stagnant. And that has largely been due to the audience performance with regards to our platforms. The one part that we are also largely focusing on going forward is how we intend to diversify our advertising revenue streams, which I'll talk to in brief. Second slide, please. So how advertising sales is generated is that there's a collective, that works together from radio stations, television, and other areas of the business to support sales to be realized. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next slide. We also want to state up front, Chair, that the advertising industry sector has actually been very, very supportive to the SABC. And it's a sector that has been with us, I think, through and through during the most difficult times. When there are challenges, we speak to them on a regular basis so that they understand and continue to support the SABC. The next slide, what it does is to demonstrate that as commercial enterprises, we exist in a very, very competitive space where we compete with many other television channels, we compete with many other radio stations in the country. We also compete with other platforms such as online and digital. And it's very much important that we continue to grow, and how we largely go about it is to ensure that our competitive pricing strategies are intact, but we also ensure that we improve on our tactics on a regular basis in terms of how we commercialize our media assets. Thank you. Now, in terms of our focus approach, in terms of our turnaround plans, there are three areas that we're largely focusing on. One is to improve the effectiveness of converting our advertising opportunities in terms of revenues. That's what we do every time, every day. The second thing that is going to be very much important is how we work in terms of how we adjust our operating model. And the last thing is really to diversify revenue streams, which is becoming a key point going forward in terms of how to ensure that we not only just rely on television and radio advertising, what other revenue streams exist for SABC to improve its bottom line. Deputy Chair, Chairperson, the one area that we know that is very important for the SABC to improve the advertising revenues is that there are certain radio stations, for example, that...
I wonder why you're calling me Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to emphasize the point that the approach that we are taking going forward is that the competitive pricing in terms of how we commercialize our inventory becomes very important to improve the revenue performance of the SABC. We also are saying that radio stations, especially stations that are regional based, which we are mentioning in our document, becomes very important in terms of how we improve the profit and loss. In other words, those radio stations that you will find them at a regional level, there is a massive growth potential that can be realized from the SME sector. We can also realize a massive growth from a regional government business in particular. And we are quite deliberate in terms of how we are going to do that. The other area really is to say that our television channels, especially SABC 3 and SABC 2, which, as you know, in 2016 in particular, had gone through a massive change in terms of the local content quotas, has to actually turn around quite significantly so that we're able to improve those revenues. The next slide, what we have done is to break it down in terms of our growth areas. We cluster our radio stations in three segments. We have the big eight radio stations, which largely cover the South African population from a footprint point of view. The second cluster is largely your regional radio stations, That's where we say that there's going to be a massive focus area where we target SME sector as well as government business which exist in those markets. And the last segment is really the likes of Radio 2000 as well as SAFM, where we know that there's a massive opportunity to grow those particular brands. Thank you. Now, in terms of our detailed areas of improvement, one, we're going to be very aggressive in terms of our trade. We have put down specific KPIs that the leadership will be holding us accountable on to say if we are to see meaningful growth, which specific areas are we going to focus on? In this instance, we are saying that how we trade, where you drive high volume, high value, short-term trading, where you offer your clients opportunities across your platform, will definitely drive meaningful growth for the SABC. And our focus approach largely is going to be those platforms, radio stations as well as television channels, that have an opportunity to actually grow their revenue base. Part of our plan is to ensure that we have a very strong footprint at the regional level. We have identified 7 radio stations to say that if we are to actually drive meaningful growth, it means that there has to be physical presence at the regional level, where we know that stations such as Pala Pala FM, Mungana Lonene, Good Hope are actually realizing meaningful growth. In terms of other revenue streams, I think my CFO in particular stated that where investment is made, we need to see meaningful ROI. There are 2 examples that we are giving. In this instance, one is the Premier League, which was procured, and we anticipate a positive ROI from the English Premier League, for example. We also stated that the T20, the partnership that we have with Cricket South Africa, our projections are giving us an indication that we'll also do well in those instances. So where investment is made, we must make sure that there's concerted effort, that ROI is actually demonstrated. Honorable Chair, the other area that is important for the SABC to really grow is the online digital space, because that's one platform. If you look at the market trends at a global level, that's one growth area that the SABC has to put a lot of investment on. Chair, if we can go to the next slide, we demonstrate in terms of what we anticipate over and above the budgets that have been confirmed at the beginning of the fiscal. So we say how we trade is going to play a significant role in turning around the SABC. We also are saying that the radio in particular will drive growth for the SABC going forward. We are also saying that it's very important for the SABC to diversify its revenue streams so that we realize growth not just from traditional advertising. We also have put specific revenue targets in terms of the additional revenue that will be generated between now and the period that has been agreed with the leadership. Now, in terms of dependencies, the next slide. So in terms of dependencies, Chair, the advertisers buy audience. Advertisers buy audiences, which means that if, for example, the content investment is not there, it means there's no audience. It therefore means there's no advertising revenue that will realize in the short term. So SABC 3 as well as SABC 2, it's what we talk about on a daily basis in ensuring that we turn around those channels. We also are saying that as early as the beginning of this fiscal, we have aggressively started to diversify our revenue streams so that we just don't rely on TV as well as radio advertising. And the last thing is that because we exist in a market where it's a supply and demand, you also have to make sure that your pricing strategies are very competitive. But at the same time, you have to continue to remain attractive to your advertisers. Commercial enterprises in particular is one area where we insist on performance management. So we monitor performance of our sales teams on a daily basis. We monitor performance of respective channels as well as radio stations in terms of their revenue contribution. And this is very important in ensuring that the SABC continues. So the sales discipline that we talk about is enforced on a daily basis to ensure that we continue to service our advertisers as is required. Chair, in short, we are saying that the aggressive turnaround plans from a commercial enterprise is ensuring that the advertising revenues improves quite significantly going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Ewa. I'm going to try my best to beat Chief Ewa's record and even be shorter. We're going to move now into television, which I think from what Chief Ewa has indicated, you can already see the dependency that our performance really results in the revenues that he brings. But I think I'd just like to position my conversation to say that the investment that we're making on content, or rather the lack thereof, doesn't only affect audiences, but it also affects the industry as a whole, because we also have got a mandate to develop the industry. And I must just say that the production industry has been very kind and patient with all the troubles that we've had, but we are affecting them negatively by our failure to invest on them. The other risk that really needs to be addressed going forward is the systemic issue that the SABC, 80% of its revenue comes from 20% of its prime time. So it's an unsustainable model, and we do need to look at how we improve in those areas, particularly how the cost of mandate is addressed. But our turnaround from a television point of view is going to be addressing the declining of audiences by making sure that we build platforms that can be accessed. We are also very awake to the fact that we cannot continue to operate on a linear platform. We do need to start making sure that all of our properties actually can live beyond the linear platform. We also have to ensure that we sustain in an environment which FIWA and the sales team can sell, whilst we're also looking at other revenue streams, and you will see the revenue streams that we talk about in terms of how we're going to approach this. But our overall objective is to strengthen the network, because what we do not want is a cannibalization of our three channels competing against each other. So at any given time, we need to ensure that the audiences remain within the SABC stable, and so we need to be investing more money on the key properties, especially in the prime time slot. We also, as I indicated, that we are going to be implementing transversal strategies, so to ensure that we leverage the power of the SABC, because more often than not, we speak about television and radio as separate entities, but actually, because they all belong to the SABC, we need to be leveraging on all of those platforms. So our strategy really is built around three key pillars, which is to protect, grow, and to innovate. from the Protect point of view is that we want to maintain the large share that SABC One has, which is a 34% market share, and also want to maintain the editorial dominance through strengthening the pillar content of the local content particularly. We also, as you would know, that SABC2 also had its own problems about from 2014 coming this way. It has had about six major schedule changes, so it has dropped some of its share, and would like to see a targeted to increase from 13% share to 15%. We are also experiencing some of the key properties that are underperforming in the prime slot, and we're also going to be reviewing those. And we also want to make sure that SABC3 is positioned as a premium space for advertisers to reach specific, particularly economically mobile audiences, which ordinarily are perceived, and I'll use the word perceived, to be a DSTV subscription market. But we do believe that it's a market that we are able or should be able to claw back. We also are looking at various partnerships, and this is where we're going to be trying to be innovative, to say that the model that we've always spoken about, to say we do 100% commissioning, isn't sustainable, but it also doesn't work well for the producers. The producers want to be able to own some of the IP, and in that way we're able to then on-sell these properties and find other revenue opportunities downstream. And also to get into the distribution market so that it's not only properties that live within the South African markets. So from an SABC2 point of view, we really want to continue entrenching the positioning of SABC2 as a family channel, which is really focused on nation building and social cohesion. And we want to make sure that from a scheduling point of view, we create stability, because if we do not have stability, commercial sales is not able to sell. As you know, we sell 14 weeks in advance. So any change that is unexpected for us is a direct revenue loss. So if we've got a funeral to cover that we put on SABC2, it simply means that money is lost. And it also becomes important for us that when we get measured as the SABC, we don't only get measured on the commercial return, because ours is also of public service. So more often than not, we get looked at the numbers to say you've made a 622 million loss, but nobody actually quantifies the public value that we bring. But it's important that as we have this discussion of a turnaround plan that is commercially based, we do raise those issues to say when we have schedule changes, it actually has a direct implication on the revenue. And I think in terms of programming, as I was starting to say, that there are some of our key pillars, key programs that are starting to decline, and we're looking at those to see how we can re-energize them and give them new energy. We're also looking at our genres to say, how do we leverage most of the things that we do? Because we've got education, we've got children. Yes, the government gives us about 180 million per annum for education, but you know, there's nothing that is directed at children. So how can we then maybe leverage the two genres to see how best we can make use of that money? There's also the issue that within the SABC as a whole, we have got less than 1% that is allocated for marketing, and it's simply because of the cash crisis. It is simply not possible to introduce new programming without visibility. And then in terms of the SABC3, we want to continue to reflect a diverse racial grouping and also put in a lot of, from a programming point of view, look at reality. We want to look at new dramas, and we also want to have magazines that are more of an emotainment, where we are going to be able to talk about self-improvement of people, because that's what sells at the moment. We're also wanting to strengthen our talk in terms of social cohesion as well. We're also looking at various partnerships, particularly in the children's block for SABC3, because children, unfortunately, in the television space is one of the least invested genres, and it's a pity, because I think it's one of the important sectors. But from a money point of view, somehow children get shortchanged all the time. And I think just talking about the overall, as I indicated, to say that, you know, we're expected to generate revenue of 3.7 billion as television, and yet our marketing budget is 19 million. I think the CFO knows how we feel about this, but it is what it is. So we need to really look at those aspects as we turn around. From a content acquisition, we are looking at making sure that as we bring in the money, we start to create stock, because one of the biggest issues is that we don't have stock. So essentially we produce to transmission, which is not very viable, especially for the sponsorship components that Chifua is looking to sell. But we also started to look at pre-sale licensing, and we're also looking at other entities that are in the BRICS areas, so that we have got access to some of the funding in those areas. I've already spoken about the negative impact this has on the production industry. And then in terms of content exploitation, we are looking to diversify the rights so that when we acquire the programming, we also make sure that the producers own some of the rights, so that they also have the responsibility to expand this. We're also looking at a new way of charging for our channels in terms of carriage fees. A lot of people have expressed interest in having access to our channels, and we're also looking at those things. We're also wanting to look at partnerships that are long-term in terms of production companies, but we are also talking to some of the finance sectors who are keen to partner with our production houses and also help us in terms of building the stock. So from a non-linear point of view, I've already indicated that the big ticket item for SABC is that we should commission platform agnostic content, because it's not just about television anymore. The convergence has shown us that we actually have to live on all the platforms. We're also building a lot of partnerships with mobile operators and the telcos who are keen on our content, and we're also keen on their platform. And we're also looking at, from an education point of view, introducing an e-learning portal for the SABC, which we think will also help us in terms of the mandate delivery. We're also looking at all the other OTT partners over and above our OTT strategies to see how we can better have relationships with the likes of the YouTubes. But more on my last slide really is about what our contribution is going to be on the digital migration. We have got identified channels that we would like to embark on. And before anybody gets a heart attack, we're not going to really be asking for additional money, because we know we're not going to get it. So we are going to be continuing with the channels that you see there, SABC 1, SABC 2, SABC 3, and SABC News. SABC parliamentary channel, we believe that that's a low-hanging fruit that really should be migrated to our DGC platform as we speak. However, our intention is not to have it as just a feed, but we are going to make sure that it has presenters and it is interactive and it actually deals with the issues of the day. So the only cost that we anticipate seeing there might be on-air talent that is going to have to make that channel alive. And then in terms of education, we are also very awake to the fact that we are not hitting all the right spots that we'd like to access. So for instance, even tertiary education, we know that the universities can't absorb everybody that wants to be in the universities. So we're looking at partnerships, and in this instance, the conversations have already started with the funder. However, we still need to get into a conversation with the Department of Education. Similarly to the health channel, we want to be able to partner with corporates, and we are in the process of trying to find how that can be done. And from a sport point of view, I think we've come and we've begged and pleaded to this committee about how expensive the rights are. So this can only be done in a form of a partnership, and those are some of the things that we're wanting to do. And depending on which channel goes first in terms of how we're going to phase this, because if we have our sports channel as an HD channel, you know, we may not be able to have the ninth channel, but if we have it as an SD channel, we may then be able to do another channel. So we are anticipating that we will have a ninth channel, which is going to be the history channel. And this is a channel that will give us the opportunity to really contribute in terms of, you know, what are South Africans, who are we, and what is our history, without necessarily having to only talk about us on dates that are historical, you know, like, but on an ongoing basis, where people are able to talk about our history as a country.
So, yeah, as I say, that this dream here is currently unfunded, but we do believe that Corporate South Africa will rise up and really partner with us in terms of the channels that we'd like to see on the digital platform. The projections that you see there, which are really anticipating that the advertising revenue is going to grow by 4.7 in 2020, excludes the DTT and the DTH migration, because we also want it to be understood that for us the migration is really about universal access more than it is about the commercial returns, because that's really what we are trying to achieve, to make sure that all the South Africans have access to all the platforms. So the projections, they do not include DTT and DTH. And I think that's my story.
Thank you very much, Nomsa. Chair, I'll be presenting on the turnaround strategy for radio. As was indicated by our group executive for commercial enterprises, as part of our turnaround strategy, and definitely the way in which we're looking at radio, we anticipate that the radio contribution towards revenue is expected to increase as we pay particular focus on three main segments. You may move forward in terms of the slide, please. And these three main areas relate to growing our audiences, driving down our costs, and growing revenue, and really optimizing what we describe as our radio network as a whole. Instead of looking at the 19 radio stations that we operate, what we'll be doing in particular is looking at efficiencies that we can derive by looking at our overall radio network as something that would increase this contribution. However, having said that, our turnaround will actually focus on a few radio stations that we believe require specific attention given their current status. These are SAFM, Radio 2000, 5FM, Lotus FM, and Good Hope FM. We've identified these channels, as was indicated during the presentation by commercial enterprises, because of what we believe is their potential to actually claw back enhanced revenue for the SABC. However, we also have a defensive strategy in place for those radio stations that we describe as high flyers, and these are such stations as Ukhozi, Metro, Umhlobo Enene, Lesedi FM, which we believe require us to introduce a very defensive strategy in order to ensure that competitors in the market do not move in and diminish our audiences and the revenue that we derive from these stations. One of the key things that has been pointed out, I think in particular by our commercial enterprises group executive, was that if we are to grow enhance the performance of these radio stations, a significant investment will have to be made in terms of our marketing and our research that we do into these audiences, their preferences with regard to the content that they consume, and more importantly, how they're expected to consume their audio content moving forward. I think one of the key things that I'd like to really emphasize here is that in terms of the share of audiences that our radio component as a total enjoys, it currently stands at 71.8%, and that translates to approximately 28.1 million adults who effectively choose to consume SABC radio stations. The important aspect about it is that our mandate requires us to broadcast in all 11 languages, and this is why you would actually find that our radio stations have a presence, particularly our African language stations, in most of these provincial locations. This really gives you a sense of the breakdown of that 71.8%
1.8%, and we break it down in terms of our public service mandate and our public commercial mandate. As you can see, we anticipate moving forward, or rather as a historical trend, what we have seen is a steady increase, or rather a stabilization in the trend around what we describe as that audience share. Also reflected on the slide is the performance of some of our significant competitors. As you can see, they have also experienced what we could describe in terms of audience share as a steadying, and in some instances, an increase in that audience share. Next slide, please. In this slide, what we have effectively done is demonstrate what that audience performance is, and as you can see, there's a direct correlation between the share and the audience performance. I will not go into too much detail into this. This is a particularly interesting slide because there is a correlation between what was shared with you by our group executive for commercial enterprises and the way in which we look at our various stations in terms of their profit and loss ratio. What we've done on the slide is we've broken it down to the stations from a commercial perspective that perform the best. We also indicate here the stations that we believe we can move to a break-even scenario within a year. What we've also done is indicate those low-performing stations in terms of their profit and loss. The correlation that I refer to here is indicative on the stations that we have identified that we believe we can restore to enhance viability, as I indicated earlier on. This is very important, particularly when we reflect on some of the key initiatives that we'll engage in terms of the turnaround strategy. These are in three areas. This relates to the manner in which we sell the stations. What is indicative here was shared by a group executive for corporate affairs. We believe that there is an opportunity for us to sell more aggressively to small, medium enterprises in provincial areas where we have representation. This was reflected by a group executive for corporate affairs, a group executive for commercial enterprises. We also believe that, as was indicated by our chief financial officer, that there's a requirement really for us to focus on how we will ensure that our costs are kept down. If I can reflect on some of the strategies that we intend to look at, is to really look at the position of some of the stations that from the outside appear to be cannibalizing existing audiences. A good example of this is True FM, and one of the things that we'll be looking at is what our turnaround strategy has in place for this platform in particular. Now, when we look at the turnaround strategy, it's really broken down into two main areas. As I indicated, we believe that we, in order to grow our audiences and to grow our revenue also at the same time, that we'll have to invest significantly in our marketing component. What this slide indicates is that there has been a decline in the spend in marketing over a historical period beginning from 2015. And what we are effectively saying is that if we are to have this turnaround strategy succeeding, we would require a small but significant investment in the radio segment around how we market and position our radio stations. The other aspect that I relate to here is the opportunity that we anticipate for our radio division within the digital space. We believe that through our over-the-top offering, which will be presented in the next financial year as an applications-based system, that we will be able also to draw and garner new audiences through our digital radio strategy, which will have a far-reaching impact, we believe, on our revenue prospects moving forward. The next slide that is presented here goes into great detail about the turnaround plans for six particular platforms that I reflected on. These plans talk about revenue, they talk about audiences, and more importantly, they talk about how the content that will be presented on these radio stations will be repositioned in order to ensure the long-term sustainability and viability of these radio stations. We may move to the next slide. This slide effectively now gives you a projection of how we anticipate revenue and indeed our expenses to flow over a 5-year period. Now, when you look at them, what this slide is effectively demonstrating is the following, that as part of our turnaround plan, we anticipate that we will indeed ensure that our costs, which are reflected here as expenses, continue to go down year on year. However, what you also see is that there will be a steady increase as we begin to invest more aggressively in marketing and also into research for the stations as part of our turnaround. The CFO indicated to you earlier that one of the key things that is required as part of this turnaround is to understand that there would be a need also to spend in significant areas and that return on investment to be appropriately managed. As is indicated here over the 5-year projection, we anticipate that there would be a steady increase in the revenue, indicating a positive return on investment for the radio component. I will now move forward to give you a snapshot of what some of our plans are, Chair, for our news and current affairs division. Very similarly to radio, what we are effectively saying is that we anticipate that there will be increased pressures on our news and current affairs division. As you would be aware, we currently provide news and current affairs to our radio and our television divisions. We also operate a 24-hour news channel which can be found on DSTV. It was indicated to you some of the plans that we have for news in the future, especially when we look at the opportunities in the DTT space, DTH space, and more importantly in the OTT space. I think the important thing about the news is that as consumers evolve the way in which they consume their news, so too there is a required need for us as a news division in the SABC to also adapt the manner in which we broadcast and reach our audiences. What we have presented here is some of the three drivers of the turnaround strategies for the news component. Effectively, what we have said is that we want to ensure that those efficiencies that we have reflected in other areas of our business are also seen in the news division. That is, we want to ensure that the news and current affairs department really uses the resources that it has in order to service the various platforms that they are currently, in terms of their regulation and their operating mandate, are required to service. Cost containment is a key theme that will be reflected in all of the areas that we talk about. What we have said to the news division is that there is a requirement for them really to manage their costs very effectively. Signal distribution as part of the fulfillment of mandate is one of their key cost drivers. So too are broadcast costs, particularly when we look at this mandate. In the next slide, what you will see is a presentation of some of the CAPEX requirements that would be required in order to ensure that from an infrastructure perspective, that the news from a technical perspective, news from an infrastructure perspective, that we invest the necessary kind of capital investment to ensure that our news remains competitive and is able to compete effectively against the current entrants and certain anticipated new entrants. This slide is very important because it reflects on the issue of another mandate that we have, which is unfunded. which is the national elections, which we will be covering quite aggressively. We are very proud of this slide because what it actually reflects is that we have become more focused on how we manage our costs, especially for those costs related to the unfunded mandate. What this slide reflects is that the total budget for the coverage of the 2019 elections will be just under 30 million rand. This is a significant reduction in the manner in which we have covered elections as a historical projection, and it really indicates to you a particular focus on our cost containment initiatives, even for those important public service mandates which we are enjoined to cover. The next slide, the next slide basically gives you a three-year projection of how our income statement in terms of the news division will play out. If you can, CEO, I'd like to move very quickly to give you a sense of the sports division and some of the plans that we have, particularly when we consider that this is one of the largest liabilities that the SABC have in terms of executing on its public mandate. What we reflect here is that the regulation that is given down to the SABC talks about 22 sports that are described as sports of national importance or national interest that the SABC is required to cover. As you would imagine, what has happened as a historical phenomenon is that we've seen that the rights for a number of these sports of national importance that we are required to cover have increased as a historical trend, which we shall reflect in the next slide. The next slide effectively gives you a sense of how those costs have really escalated far beyond inflation. And effectively what we have seen is a trend where many of the rights holders for the sports that we are required to cover in terms of our regulation have increased quite significantly. If you look at the historical trend here, effectively you will see that we operate at a significant loss in terms of this mandate that we are required to fulfill. However, what we have done, and as you can see as reflected in 2017-2018, is that we're beginning to stop this trend of excessive losses around sports rights. And this is really reflected in some of the acquisitions of sports rights that we have done in the past 6 months that have already begun to realize a significant revenue. And here we're talking about rights like the English Premier League that we now broadcast on SABC3, and the anticipated revenue, as was reflected from our group executive commercial enterprises, that will derive from the recent rights acquisition of the T20 Global Tournament, which will be coming to South Africa. Next slide, please. So, effectively, what we are saying about the lack of funding for the mandate which is given to us is the following. Sports events that have been historically broadcast are most likely not to be broadcast on the SABC unless we address this issue of the unfunded mandate or the gap in sporting rights. So once sporting rights are lost, it is also important for us to indicate to you that it is then very difficult for us to regain these rights. I think this is particularly important when we consider some of the plans that were reflected by our group executive for television around our plans of actually establishing a 24-hour news sports platform on our DTT network. We also believe that our inability to fund the rights that are required has a significant risk for the SABC in terms of the right outcry that the citizens of this country will make towards the SABC because of our inability to provide them with the sports that they believe they would want to see. Now, we believe that the net effect of this could be that we could see a decline in our, what, rather the effect of our inability to broadcast these sports could result in a decline in our ability to garner increased TV license revenue and indeed see an increase in our sponsorship and classical advertising. So it is very important for us to ensure that we protect the sports rights that we currently have and move aggressively but very carefully towards maintaining and acquiring new rights in terms of our sporting regulation. If we can go to the next slide. Effectively here, we reflect on some of the rights and the liability that we have in terms of the rights that we are trying to acquire and more importantly which we have acquired. As you can see here, we reflect on the PSL and SAFA as some of the rights that we have to look at in terms of their acquisition in order to fulfill our mandate. And indeed, we will be going to our shareholder and other important stakeholders to try, together with some of these rights holders, to present a new model as part of our turnaround on how we can fund some of the rights that we are required to cover. I will now, Chair, move on to the presentation of the work around turnaround that we'll be doing in terms of our media technology infrastructure. Our media technology division is responsible really for the maintenance and ensuring that our technological component that the SABC runs in order to broadcast effectively on radio is done so in both an effective and operationally sound way. This is done really to ensure that the public broadcaster does not just fulfill its mandate to broadcast on the current radio stations that we broadcast on, that is the 19 radio stations that we are on, but also the 5 television platforms that we operate, but also in a manner that also looks forward to the digital opportunity that is in front of the SABC, which is around OTT and digitization of radio and television. Next slide, please. Effectively, what this slide reflects is the 3 pillars that our technology division would be focused on in terms of their CapEx plans. And these are placed over 3 areas. They will focus on replacement of assets. This is very important because a lot of our infrastructure requires us to replace because of the age and the high usage of this infrastructure. There's also a requirement, particularly when I reflected for a radio and also to a great degree for television, to upgrade our assets for the transmission and broadcast of television and broadcast. The 3rd aspect that they would be focused on is really around the acquisition of new assets. And this really has to do with the opportunity that I reflected on around the digital space. So, due to cash constraints in the financial year 18 and 19, only 350 million was approved for the execution of this mammoth task, which is really crucial to ensure the effectiveness of our broadcast against really what was a projected budget, which is about 1.9 billion. So you can see there's a huge funding gap in order for us to ensure that the infrastructure that is really sensitive towards us ensuring maximum uptime in terms of our broadcast is kept up and running. The next slide really gives you a sense of what the crucial or critical infrastructure plans are from a technological perspective. Here we break them down in terms of our studios. We also break them down in terms of the requirement from a TV and a radio operational structure. We also have here some of the key projects that we'll be looking at from a group perspective, which shall enhance, in terms of the return on investment, the efficiencies that we see from a group operating efficiency perspective. And these are things like the corporate storage area network, our telephone replacement network, our digital library, which is particularly important if we are to move into the digital space, that is the OTT space, and also prepare for our digital migration. Next slide, please. This really gives you a sense of the mammoth task that is faced by our technology division in terms of some of the key projects from an architecture framework perspective that they need to already be provided with the required funding for. Here we talk about web content production, social media management production, and analytics, to name a few. I've spoken about OTT and other aspects related to the digital opportunity for both television and radio. Next slide, please.
I have referred to the property strategy that is ongoing in the organization, so just one or two short sentences about that. We have property to the value of about 2.5 billion rand. It includes a property in London. All these properties are currently with the assistance of a property advisor and being assessed in the course of the next 6 to 8 months in terms of what the way forward with each of these properties will be, to ensure that we either minimize risk or maximize return on investment. The London property specifically, the sale is likely to be concluded in this financial year.
Thank you very much, Tim. Honorable members, like I indicated in the beginning, that our turnaround is indeed comprehensive. It does cover the legacy and governance issues. It does cover regulatory and policy issues, and in the main, it also addresses a number of commercial and operational elements. We've basically given you a view of our financial position. We've also gone further to take you through what are the cost drivers, what are the revenue drivers, so to give a sense that we are managing both cost and revenue. And of course, we've shared with you the cost of the mandate and the anticipation that we have in its growing going forward. The turnaround basically plan addresses how we're going to save costs across the board, how we're going to reposition TV licenses and come up with other innovative ways to address the issue of TV licenses. Commercial enterprise, we've shared with you the details of how we're going to be driving and turning around that element so that we can continue generating enough revenues to fund the underfunded mandate. We've touched on TV, we've touched on radio, we've given you a view of sports and the mandate and how much it's costing us and what are the ideas that the team has put together to try and get that sports rights better negotiated deals that can give SABC some form of return in these sports rights. We've also shared with you the employee costs, which basically give you a sense of why we've advanced the kind of initiative that we've advanced. So the notion that the corporate the turnaround strategy is one element, it is entirely not true. We've given you a comprehensive view of how we're going to do, and part of the reason why the communication around section 189, we're starting a process of consultation which will allow us to engage and in a meaningful consensus seeking with the unions and our employees around how best to move forward. So that's what the team has done, and I want to thank the team and the non-executive members of the board for their input and for helping the team really get us to where we are. And I'm hoping that South Africans will get a sense that we know what we're doing and we are committed to deliver on our mandate. Thank you. Over to you, Chairperson.
Yeah. We have taken almost 3 hours for the presentation. It's fine. We wanted a thorough briefing from SABC. We'll take only 2 hours for engagement. And then there will be 1 hour lunch. From 1 o'clock to 2, at 2 o'clock we're back here. will proceed for another 2 hours from 2 o'clock. And then we can adjourn after that. So, members, I really don't understand the parliament, how it works. In terms of logistics, the meeting is here. We are told to go to Mark's building for lunch. I really don't understand why we didn't get a venue in Mark's building for starters. I mean, how do we spend time walking to Mark's building? But anyway, that's where we're going to have lunch, because that's the only restaurant open. Yeah, so we'll go there now and come back at 2. Yes, I'm told the room will be locked. You can leave your... Locking is both sides, okay? The system goes in that side and this side. And if anything, you will pay.
Thank you.